We are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
This is episode 10, everyone.
It is episode 10.
We have made it to 10.
1-0.
That's pretty awesome. We are working our double digits. I like it.
This endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
10, we make it to 10. 14 weeks ago, I didn't think I could put up with you for longer than 3 episodes.
Yeah, this is an accomplishment in of itself.
Awesome.
It's milestone.
Milestone.
Night.
Yep. I like it. August 4th.
August 4th.
Episode 10.
Where did summer go?
School starts
in a week.
Oh man.
Well, your girls are going back to school in a week, aren't they, Christopher?
Yeah, at 2 different schools.
That's
weird.
Right?
Yeah.
Weird. Kristen's in high school.
Holy crap.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
Seriously.
I don't have to go back to college for another month and a half. Like, our term doesn't start until September.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It's weird when you make the transition into adulthood when you don't measure time by semesters or quarters anymore.
Yeah.
I still frame my year
based on school year calendar.
Yes,
it's so weird.
Isn't that weird?
It's like ingrained in our culture.
God, I'm freaking old, and I still
old. You're in your prime.
I still frame it by school year. Having kids will focus you that way. But
I will say this: I don't miss summer vacation really anymore. I don't miss spring break really. I miss the 2 weeks around Christmas off very deeply.
That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. I've been out of college for 10 years.
Well,
I miss Christmas break
big time. Big time.
Oh, well, it's just like that extra vacation time to like spend with your family around Christmas.
Well,
that's because
I'm down for a week, so
right.
It's always like, Patrick's in town, I want to take a week off. I want to take both weeks off.
No.
Yeah,
I know. I'm special.
You're right. No, not really.
Who wants to work around Christmas?
You're just the favorite because you moved away.
I moved away. I'm the bird. I'm a bird that flew away and
boys, in
came
honor
back.
Of Ronald D. Moore. Did you ever listen to the Ronald D. Moore Battlestar Galactica podcast?
Never have.
No,
you,
I would listen to it.
You did?
Okay, no,
that was the podcast that got me into listening to podcasts because Ronald D. Moore would do a live podcast of every episode.
Shut up.
Yes. He would.
What?
He would watch the episode and, you know, you could hear snippets of it in the background.
And he'd cast.
But he would cast
what?
That episode.
How did I not know about this when the show was on?
Because you're an idiot and I'm awesome.
Probably. Yeah.
So
okay. Both those things are true.
He opened every episode with a tonight's drink is, or this week's drink is.
Uh-huh.
So in honor of that, Ronald D. Moore and the Battlestar Galactica, tonight's drink is Knob Creek.
Wow. Is that all Knob Creek that I'm seeing, or did you mix it with anything?
No, it's neat. Knob Creek, neat. But I have my 20-sided die freezing stone.
Oh, yeah. You love that sucker.
That you put into
the
freezer.
No,
it looks really dark.
No taste.
Greek.
Off
it's
that,
so good. No,
there's
it's
no taste
inner.
Coming off of that?
No.
Okay.
You taste nothing but.
What is the.
Beauteous.
What is it made of?
What is the stone made of? Yeah,
it's made of stone.
Stone. It's not like
I think it's like granite.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it doesn't have, like, an outer layer of...
You're such a nerd. You got a 20-sided die.
20-sided die. Put it in
whiskey
freezer
stone.
And it makes it cold. Anyway, Ronald
D.
Moore...
That probably cost $65.
It wasn't that much. But in Ronald D. Moore, I salute you.
I'm drinking Coke Zero
tonight.
Is this the Flicks and Drinks podcast right now? Like,
no, dude.
I'm drinking water.
Yeah, I busted off with a Ronald D. Moore and Battlestar lesson. That's way beyond the Flicks and Drinks shit.
Whoa.
Dude, your Flicks and Drinks, by the way, still not available on iTunes. It is not downloaded to my iPhone yet.
Which one? Any of them?
The newest episode. You just did.
What? Anyway, let's not talk about Patrick's, you know,
other podcast.
It's awesome. Okay. That's
this
what it
is. This is the Brothers Geek.
This is the Brothers Geek. Correct.
We are the Brothers Geek.
We are the Brothers Geek. This is our podcast. We're brothers, and we talk about stuff.
What have I been up to? This past week has been everything in anticipation of the new Marvel film that came out on Friday. I think the two
of you focused
saw it.
World around Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, you didn't. You were chomping at the bit. You were texting me on Thursday morning, let's go see it Thursday night.
You're right. Guys were blowing
and
up about
did.
That.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we went on Thursday night.
Excited about
can
it.
We take can we take a second to talk about the Thursday night show that
yes,
has
let's talk about this phenomenon. It's yes. annoying the hell out of me.
Yes,
you
me too.
It's annoying.
It's a money
awesome.
Grab.
Okay. Okay, here's my problem.
Money bullshit.
Here's my problem is
yeah, you still went.
Like they used to
what's
do they used to do midnight shows because technically it's Friday. So they're releasing the movie on Friday, and that's when it comes out. So you go to midnight on Thursday and then see the film, and stays up late, and it's kind of like a rough thing. Well, the
it's
time
like,
of the midnight...
It's an event.
It's an event.
The diehards are there.
The diehards are there, exactly.
Shows,
here's it's like church, dude. Remember?
Right.
Yeah.
Saturday night, go to Mass on Saturday night, covers you for Sunday.
Right.
That's it. So Thursday night movie, that
correct.
Means it's a Friday premiere.
I guess so.
So, but now they do this thing where it's like 7 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah, there were there were shows at 7.
7, 10, 10 and 11. I went to an 11 o'clock show on Thursday, and it's like, what
why?
The hell?
Why would you do that?
Yeah. Why are they trying to do this? Because it's Thursday.
No. Why would you go to an 11 if there was a 7?
Exactly.
Oh, I was at work.
Oh.
I went after work.
Oh, fine.
Technically, you're watching it after midnight if you were living on the East Coast.
Midnight somewhere.
It's midnight somewhere.
It's just like it's 5 o'clock somewhere. That's why Chris is drinking.
Oh, my God. Awesome.
Chris and I went to that movie at 8:30.
Yeah, we did.
8:15.
Okay.
8:15.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we were going to the 7.
But
that's
I had
awesome.
Issues that I had to resolve.
Mr. Good Samaritan. Mr. Good Samaritan had to...
A little bit, yeah. No, that's just the way it goes. Yeah.
So what do we think of...
Of Guardians of the
of
Galaxy?
The Guardians
what do we think?
Of yeah.
It was a steaming pile.
Of awesomeness.
Absolutely. I loved it.
You guys both loved it?
It was so much fun.
Uh-oh, Patrick sounds like he's going to disagree. Let's
uh-oh.
Hear it.
Pat,
you are 100% wrong. And
you
I'll explain why you're wrong. Let's hear it.
You're
my
kvetching.
God.
You try to think
serious?
Of what to say.
Patrick, let's hear it.
Come on.
No, I thought the movie was very fun, very enjoyable, but I don't think it's a great movie. I think it's a fun, good movie, but it's pretty weak. I feel like the emotions are weak, and I don't care about the characters. I don't care about the villain. I don't care. I think the villain story is boring. I think most of the side villains are boring. I mean, it. What saves it is Chris Pratt being awesome and Rocket Raccoon looking amazing and hilarious. So that's where the movie shines, and the action is good. Parts of the action are good. But I think it's not as good as people are making it out to be. I think it's a lot of fun.
Wow.
But that's about it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my 2 cents.
Wow.
I'm.
They're speechless. This
I'm,
the these
without,
two are.
Firstly, you're absolutely wrong about the villain.
I'm without.
Ronan, I think, is a great villain. I thought he was very menacing.
Mm.
I thought he was. He had. I mean, his look is freaking awesome. First of all, I thought, and I mean, knowing anything about
he did
the Marvel
cool.
Universe coming
he did
into
look
it,
cool.
It was efficient. You had didn't have to know anything, but you know that he's a racist bastard who doesn't agree with the peace.
Yeah,
he's a fanatic.
Yep,
that's all you need to know. And then he makes a deal with the devil to wipe out the Zendarians.
I think it's
what more do you need, dude?
I think it's simple. I think it's too simple, and he's it's
how
not
complicated do you need it to be?
I don't know.
You need an elaborate heist, and your villain. And, I don't understand. Yeah.
He needs the Italian job.
What do you need?
He needs the Italian job wrapped up into the usual suspects.
I guess.
Then with a raccoon.
What you're saying to me are great movies, and this is not.
Italian Job is not a great movie.
I think the story of like we were talking comparing Marvel movies. I think the story and the villain are more complex and more like earth-shattering in Captain America 2 than in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Think about the achievement of this movie, dude. Think about this.
I think it's wonderful. I really like it.
$94 million for a Guardians of the freaking Galaxy movie.
I will give them that. It's pretty good for that.
It had no cachet in terms of star.
They could put a dump in a box and market Avengers 3.
We said
three.
This like 7 weeks ago.
I mean, yeah. They can do no wrong.
They can do no wrong. Yeah. Avengers 3 is going to be called a dump in a box, by the way.
Dump in a box.
Avengers
guaranteed.
Guaranteed dump in the box. That might be the title of this episode.
I posed a question ahead of time. So, Patrick, clearly, we hear what you're going to answer this question. Does it dethrone, and I can't take credit for the question. I saw somebody ask it or some variation on it.
Yeah.
Is Guardians better than Avengers?
No.
I think Avengers is a singular movie achievement. That yeah. If anyone else had made it, if anyone had attempted to make that film but Joss Whedon, it would have been a steaming pile and it would have been a mess. Joss Whedon is maybe one of three directors and writers who could have pulled that movie off, made it coherent, made it even – and it transcended – all the movies, like, it was greater than the sum of its parts.
Correct.
It was greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, the great achievement of the Avengers is that it's an ensemble, and every hero in the ensemble gets a moment.
Yep.
Perfectly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A moment to, you know, their power, their personality, what they add to the group, all
yes.
of that.
Yes.
Right.
Avengers is a great move. Is a transcendent movie because Whedon is able to do that in the yes. context of an ensemble piece.
Yes.
There is a hint of that in Guardians. Guardians does a nice job, but you certainly care more about certain characters than others, and you get more in-depth moments with certain characters.
It's a little bit lopsided. Well,
Why is it lopsided?
No. That statement agrees with what you just said, where it's like you get more moments with Peter Quill and Gamora.
They touch on each character and they mm-hmm. give each character.
Peter Quill
a
has the human story that he's correct. The fish out of
no,
water.
No, that's better.
You know, yeah. trying to make his way in this totally alien world. So as much as he's been living there since he was a child, so he understands mm-hmm. it and he has skills that he's built over years.
Yeah,
of being
but you get powerful moments with Gamora. You get that quote unquote humanize her, that connect yes. her with the audience, human yes. audience watching. Obviously,
uh-huh.
you get powerful moments with Groot. And you get powerful moments with
Rocket,
the raccoon.
Yeah,
when he gets
Rocket
drunk,
was the,
when he
Drax
gets
and Drax was too. Surprise. Drax has moments too.
Oh my god, Drax was like the least interesting character, but he ended up being like one of the best. Like I was not as interested in him.
Honestly, Dave Bautista, the guy who plays him,
he did a great job.
Presence on screen,
yeah,
and he
totally
look. With the whole red tattoos or red kind of brands
yeah,
on his
that is.
Skin.
It's, or looked it could be awesome. A growth that's part of his race or something.
It could mm-hmm. be something. But whatever it is, it looked freaking awesome.
Drax the Destroyer.
Fantastic.
I liked his character a lot.
So it sounds like we all agree that Avengers is better.
I think so. Well, I'm going to say this. I like Captain America 2 better than Avengers.
If there's any movie that comes to the level of Avengers, I think it's Captain America 2.
Right. And then followed very closely by Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, yeah. those three are
no
my three favorite.
The
and then like, after that is Iron Man, the first Iron Man.
Not just because I'm a Whedon fanboy, but I got to give Avengers number one.
Yeah.
Better than Captain America 2. Captain America 2 is a great movie.
I think,
But it's Captain America 2 is easier to do.
True.
Singular villain, singular story.
That
shit writes itself.
Yeah.
Being spoiler, Bucky. I mean,
the whole Hydra thing.
God,
though,
that was
I mean,
so good. The Hydra story.
Oh. It's not complex.
I thought it was. I found all the mistrust and all kind of the you know, the
It's a spy thriller. Day and age, everybody's the government's watching us. NSA crap.
Oh, I mean, that was
easy
great.
To play on the.
It's topical. It's not easy.
It is easy because you play into the audience reacts to that.
Mm-hmm.
They're emotionally engaged immediately because you hit touchstones that
you
we're all dealing
easy.
With.
Avengers is an alien invasion movie.
You're right.
It's a movie about an invading army.
It's hard because we have to care.
It's hard because you get all the heroes in a room and you got to find a legitimate way to make them work together.
That's what it's hard.
But the villain is
that,
easy.
That's not what I said. The movie is hard to do well.
I like it. Yeah.
At its core, it's an alien invasion movie. That's easy as shit.
Yeah.
Then it's if you don't do the ensemble well and you give everybody a moment, it's just thrown away as another alien invasion movie. That's all it is.
Yeah.
But that's the genius of Whedon.
That's
why Captain America is an easier movie to make. It's an easier movie to plot and to tell.
Okay.
It is.
Bringing it back to Guardians.
Yeah.
Rocket, I was very like amazed that they made us care and feel and love this little like animated raccoon that seems like a silly idea. Think about how silly that is.
It's ridiculous.
But
movie technology has gone to the point where not for a moment did I not think that he was
awesome.
Real.
And there.
He's a mutated raccoon.
He's there.
He's in the room with all of them at all times.
You never feel like you lose that.
You never lose it. And that's astounding.
Groot is the same way.
Yeah.
Never ever are taken out of, oh my God, I'm watching a movie. There wasn't a moment.
Right.
You know, you even have those moments in Lord of the Rings movies where it's like jarring.
Yeah.
Where there's some bad CG somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh shit, I'm watching a movie.
Once you'll see like an orc or like a goblin who looks rubber. Like that guy looks fake.
Or the CG stuff in the background it's really CG. And there is a moment that's jarring in terms of, oh my God, that's CG.
Yeah.
And your brain immediately recognizes it as CG. There isn't a single moment in Guardians. And the entire movie has Groot and the raccoon in it.
Yeah. Right.
There isn't a moment where I had that, oh my God, that's a fake as hell. This is a movie.
No,
that's
you love it.
I'm so impressed by that. So impressed by that.
Well, that's how I felt about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is like you never question that there's an ape there. That the ape exists and it's that. Right.
They've perfected that in movie making now. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So I really liked it, but I think that it was a good, not great movie. That's what I'll go with. It was a lot of fun and very enjoyable.
What more do you want?
I want deep. I want good filmmaking, you know? I want chances being taken. It was very, like, no chances, you know? No, like, it was just, like, a missed opportunity. They could, like, you know.
Other than the fact that the chance they took was to make a movie about the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I know. That's a big one.
The most obscure group in the frickin' Marvel.
And it worked. That's insane.
Did you guys read, Guardians has gotten a lot more kind of at least comic book world love in the past few years because Bendis has been writing or Bendis relaunched the book like 4 years ago and everyone raved about how good the book was. Did you guys read Bendis's run on that book?
No, I never read it.
I'm going to read
all the Annihilation and Annihilation Conquest stuff.
I tried to read the Annihilation. I actually might own that. Andrew, look through your comics that I left you. I think I might have bought Guardians Annihilation and left it at your house.
Okay.
I'm going to read Annihilation Conquest, which I read today. Annihilation Conquest has Star-Lord as a central character.
Right.
Okay.
And then it leads into ultimately what becomes Guardians of the Galaxy 1.
Star-Lord
is a key player in Annihilation Conquest.
Yeah.
And then when that ends, essentially the group that is Guardians of the Galaxy, the rebooted group, that this group in the movie comes together in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, and that's where they introduce Ronan and Nebula and Gamora
yeah.
and all those characters that are central to this, right? So, okay. That's cool. Yeah.
That is cool.
All right, let's move on to our scene.
Awesome.
We are all up to date on The Leftovers, correct? So
last night's episode,
August 3rd's episode.
Absolutely, yep. My new favorite show,
dude.
Without question,
it is so rough.
It is relentless.
Yes. It is in its so. This is not a happy
darkness.
Show.
It's relentless. In
this
its
is
darkness.
So bleak, it is, but
oh
it is
God,
so well made.
It is.
It's so,
so
well made.
Whenever I watch
so
the show, all I'm waiting for is the other. Every single scene.
Mm-hmm.
I am absolutely waiting for the other shoe to drop. And every single scene, I'm something
awesome,
either amazing or catastrophic. It could happen at any moment in this
yep.
in this show. And all of the amazing or catastrophic moments have felt totally authentic and totally earned in the entire run of the show so far, in my
opinion.
Yeah,
the genius of the show is they're telling the bigger story via these individual experiences.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so good and smart to tell that way because, you know, the larger story is too freaking large. You can't,
right.
yeah.
you know, you can't do it. But by telling it through these individuals who are all going through it and processing it in different ways, my God, it gives some insight and speaks to so many interesting and complex issues that they're dealing with. It's just,
yep.
and you know, outside of it, it's just commentary and everything that is involved in the human experience. It's just
yep.
an amazing show. What did you think of when you saw the episode and they played that ad at the beginning of the episode?
Which one?
Yeah.
Lost,
the one last
right?
night.
Did you immediately think this is Lindelof going back to his Lost well where they played the Dharma Initiative
yes.
ads?
Yes.
I don't remember seeing an ad. Am I,
oh, my God,
well,
yes.
They might not, you didn't watch it on live HBO, right? You probably watched
No. I watched it on HBO Go.
Yeah,
oh,
they
so they
showed
didn't
an ad. You know, in the episode,
on HBO
you know,
Go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the ad that in the TV show
before
the episode last
quote
night.
Unquote episode starts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
they did an ad for this company that you send in photos of your departed.
Oh, those guys.
The salesman that tries
right,
to hook
the
up
bodies.
The
like,
yeah, the bodies.
Company.
They did
yeah.
an ad for that company.
Dude,
yeah.
that scene was so uncomfortable
yeah.
when she was kissing the body.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
God.
That's the whole point.
I mean, it's so good. She is so.
She is messed up.
Is there,
she was
well,
messed
they're
up.
All messed
now.
Up.
Now, where is she at and why?
But like, I love the little details.
Spoilers. No spoilers. It's too soon for a spoiler.
But I love the details where like, she's buying the cereal for her kids.
Yes.
Like, this is the first 2 seconds of the show, so I'm not ruining anything. But, like, you see her.
She continues to buy the same groceries 3 years later.
Right.
She throws out the empty, the unopened boxes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. Because she needs
boxes.
She needs to.
With the new boxes. I mean,
yeah.
That's so crazy.
It's just.
It's a perfect. I mean, it's an overt image.
Incredible. The writing is incredible.
I mean, it's not subtle in terms of conveying the idea that she can't move on, but at the same time, it's a unique way to illustrate that she can't move on because she continues to buy the same groceries.
Insight into that sort
yes.
of, I am maintaining a continuing
right.
status quo of my pain.
Yep.
And this is a way I'm doing that.
So she works for this company that
she works for the government.
She works for the
government.
That has this new program where they go around, have the people who departed, and they're asking them questions with the promise of giving them money for their lost loved ones. Is that correct?
Well, they explain it because the insurance
companies
refuse to pay out.
Right.
Because yes, you can't actually prove they're dead.
Proof of death,
so you can't make life insurance claim.
That makes right. sense. Okay.
So this is a
clearly
this is
the,
a departed
the federal government
benefit.
Enacted a law and created a department to compensate people
cool.
for their department.
And because she lost she
essentially a death
she lost
benefit.
Three
yeah.
of her
yes.
family members.
Her husband yes. and her two children.
So she got three benefits.
She got
yep.
she got like over $100,000 because her
well,
brother
whatever.
Came
they said how much? I don't know if they've
well,
said that much.
Okay,
she's got plenty of cash.
When she the episode with her brother, the preacher came to ask her for money, and he asked her for over $100,000, and she
it $100,000?
Well, he owed over $100,000.
Like $100,000+.
Right.
He's like $140,000.
And he asked her for that money, like, and it was like she had it.
Yeah,
right. Right. Exactly. She had that money. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, they haven't said, but I wouldn't. It's probably knowing how government programs often work, and if it's a replacement for
lost income.
Lost income.
Well, if it's a replacement for insurance death benefit, then the amount could be tied to the age of the departed.
Yes.
Christopher the lawyer, everyone.
Well, so. And also, I mean, I work insurance too, it could be based on the salary that the husband was making at the time he departed. Also, that could be based on something like that as well. Yeah. So,
I like that.
They might have made it easy and said it's just a flat number.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, $50,000 per person.
Jeez.
But the process that getting back to your original point, she works for this department, and this department obviously was newly created. But to be eligible for this benefit, you have this. As a claims person, that's the only thing that I can equate her as. She's a claims person.
Oh, yeah.
She goes to your home, she interviews you, and you have to answer a series of questions.
150 questions. That's what they said.
No, 121.
There's
150.
There are other questions after that.
But 121 was the one. The key question. Yeah.
I have a theory on that.
I know. I want to talk about that. That moment is so.
It's so good.
Obviously, something about her has changed, because her 100% response rate to that question, it was obviously her, in my opinion, that was affecting the answer from every single person, because she's the only one.
She was just checking yes, even though people were answering no.
But that's the other side of this.
But the contrary to that is every interview is recorded.
Yes.
Oh.
So if she
video recorded.
Yeah. So
if there's a discrepancy, she'd be in a lot of trouble.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's my point.
Yes, she is influencing.
She is affecting. Yeah. Well, maybe not even overtly, but something about her.
Right.
Something about her made people answer that question in the affirmative.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then when what happens to her changes her.
Mm-hmm.
Now people are answering that question either honestly.
Oh, that's
or
that's
they're
so
all gonna
crazy.
Be answering it negatively.
Well, that's why her boss was asking her, like, "Did you tell anybody about your situation?"
Yeah, right.
Because
exactly.
Of course they're gonna want to answer yes to make her feel better.
Exactly.
About
right.
But she has a she
right.
Has,
oh, that's so a, crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
That show is so good, dude.
Again,
this show
because,
is so good
because she was. It's recorded.
Yeah.
It would have on the tape. That the fact that she was telling people about her experience.
Right.
Exactly. So she's
so
not.
The answer is that she wasn't. And so it's in her demeanor and what she was giving off.
Totally.
Anyway, don't get too spoilery, but okay.
Yeah. But it's a fantastic show.
That's my original point about this show.
This is
Is
deep,
it what she's
deep,
giving
awesome
off?
Shit.
Or is there some kind of other thing that she possessed that the guy took away from her?
Well, the question is,
that guy is a charlatan.
Hold on.
He's a charlatan. Okay.
So here's my
it's a placebo.
Here's
dude.
My thing with this show. This is my theory about this show.
Is it?
Okay, hold on. Hold on. My theory about this show is the people who are taken, it has nothing to do with them. It's the reason the people are still there. Those people are chosen in some way. So, like,
left behind.
Exactly. So, like, it has nothing to do with the people who are taken. It has everything to do with the people who had things taken from them. So
I don't even think it goes. I think it's totally random.
So, like,
it's a
Nora,
totally random happenstance.
Like Nora. Like, she needed those three people to be taken from her to be tested in some way.
No way.
Yes. I think that's...
You are imputing an agency into the event, which I don't think exists.
Okay. You don't think it exists that way?
That's the great part of this show is that we can have that discussion about it.
Yeah.
I
certainly come at it from the viewpoint of there's no agency in it.
Okay. Finish up the leftovers thoughts.
Let's just agree at least on this. I mean, season one of Lost, in my opinion, was by far the best season of the show.
Mm-hmm.
This season is already kicking on all cylinders. Lindelof is this kind of because Lost dealt with some of the same issues in this.
Based on a book. He's got a book to work with.
Yeah.
I understand, but he's departed from the book already significantly. Why? Is my understanding. He's added and subtracted characters. Yeah. He's changed motivations. He's changed kind of the tone. My understanding of the book is that it was much more of a satire and much more cynical.
I'm not worried about the book either.
I'm just saying, Lindelof is firing on all cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the quality of his show running, it's incredible. And he's co-writing every episode.
Yeah, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
It is absolutely riveting, compelling television.
I always thought that Lost was more of a J.J. Abrams baby than it was a Lindelof baby. So,
but he left after like J.J.
Abrams stopped being directly involved in a while.
Yeah,
Cues and Lindelof really.
Oh yeah, Carlton.
They ran it after like season three.
All right.
Because he left to make Mission Impossible 3 with Tom Cruise.
What do you? What else are we watching? What else have we seen? Anything else to discuss?
Andrew.
Well, I mean, continue to watch True Blood.
Yep.
We'll talk about that
a little bit. Yeah. No. I'm interested in these storylines as they go along more and more. It was kind of, I was a reluctant watcher at the beginning of the season, but they've moved beyond kind of the H-Vamp stupidity that the first few episodes where it was kind of that immediate peril storyline where they're trying to find the kidnapped people.
Yeah, like it seemed like, they were going to bring down society in the first season.
What depresses me, dude, is the central villain. The central villain now to close out the season is a jilted, psychotic vamp.
Yeah.
That's it? That's how you're going to close the show?
Yeah. No, I understand. Come on. I understand.
Who's the jilted, psychotic vamp?
Jason's ex-girlfriend.
Oh, her.
Yeah, the girl with the sex room or
I think
whatever.
Spoiler alert, I watched the preview for next week, and it looks like she's just trying to lure Jessica so she can kill Jessica and get her out of the way.
Possible. She is connected to that fake girl.
Exactly.
That's the story?
That's the story.
I mean, the bigger story is the cure. And blah, blah, blah. But they're focusing on this jilted psycho. I mean, it's just it's lame.
I'm a lot more interested in the Eric hunting down Sarah Newman storyline.
Yeah,
I
mean, Newman. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that
Newman.
Because I mean, Eric's a compelling character, and Alexander Skarsgård is a good actor.
He's good badass. On screen.
And yes.
Him and Pam together are a lot of fun.
And actually, the Bill storyline and the flashbacks, those have all, in my view, have been good.
They've been decent. Yeah.
They've been fun to watch.
I mean, he's confronting his mortality and the choices he's made and all of that. And so that's pretty good stuff.
It is good stuff. That's reminiscent of what they did in season one and how they brought depth to season one and how you actually connected with these people.
Right. You give a shit about whether
a shit about Bill again.
But, you know, I think karma is a bitch. I think...
Oh yeah, I think a lot of people are gonna end up dead in the next three episodes. Yeah,
Did they answer why his Hep B is so like far gone?
They haven't answered it.
Alluded that it has something to do with her
Suki
blood.
Has, like, super fairy blood.
Super fairy blood.
Mm-hmm.
She's from a powerful fae family, aggressive. So her blood is super
powerful. So it's enhancing the Hep B
aggression, yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
So. Okay.
They alluded to that.
What else we got?
I went to Guardians of the Galaxy. It was the only movie I saw. We talked about Leftovers.
Dude, how can we not talk about Sharknado 2?
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Didn't watch it.
Oh my god! Okay, well, that's my contribution.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll go watch it. I want to watch it. So.
Oh my! It is
awesome. The word you're looking for. Terrible.
Terrible.
But terrible, awesome.
Terrible,
right?
And Tara Reid is just unbelievably brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, she is. How is it that? Well, it's sci-fi giving her a job, but I mean, it is. Ian Ziering. At least I respect the guy because the dude knows that it is a freaking pile of shit.
Yep.
And he knows it, and he is working it, and you know, he is totally committed to doing the best he can in this freaking pile of shit.
But are they doing it as a pile of shit as a joke? Because they know that it's a joke.
Of course they do, dude.
They know that this is ridiculous.
That is the sci-fi sensibility. They put out Sharktopus.
It's all tongue-in-cheek.
It is all tongue-in-cheek.
Yep. Yes.
There is absolutely 100%. But the funny position they were in after Sharknado was they actually had to have a payoff with Sharknado 2. So there had to be some elements that were like decent filmmaking.
Mm. Okay.
They really tried. You could see them trying hard to do some decent filmmaking. And so there are allusions to Airplane and there are clever moments which They clearly focused on the writing a lot more.
A clever moment in Sharknado 2.
Yes.
That's
amazing.
You can tell they tried hard.
That's good.
To have some clever moments.
They're trying hard to make a terrible movie.
Yes. And it's just freaking terrible. Just terrible.
I have to watch it.
Judd Hirsch is awesome.
Judd Hirsch
is awesome as a taxi driver.
I didn't even realize he was in it.
As a driver of a taxi.
Which one's he? I don't know the name.
Judd Hirsch. Oh, my God. So, anyway.
What is he in?
You have to watch it just to be able to say that you've seen it. But it is.
They're going
to
release it in theaters in like a week or two.
Oh, my God.
Like, you're going to limited engagement.
It's terrible.
Theaters.
It's just terrible. It's a terrible movie.
Yeah.
And the premise is
the most absurd
ridiculous
thing anybody ever thought of.
But so is the attack of the 50-foot woman.
I love that the title of this movie is Sharknado 2, the second one.
Yeah, they had a competition to name it.
Did they really?
You don't remember that.
No.
After the first Sharknado and when it was huge, they said, okay, we're making the second one. We're going to have a competition at, you know, tweet. Send to us your suggestion for the title of the second. My contribution was Sharknado 2, The Sharkness.
The Sharkness.
The Sharkness. That's pretty good.
Kira still thinks I should have won.
Well,
of course, Kira.
She loved that name.
What are the odds your 8-year-old daughter would have thought that you should win that contest?
Well, she
however wise she is.
Yeah. I'm gonna go watch it. I'm going to go try to find it.
You'll shake your head from beginning to end.
I know I will.
It's terrible.
Don't get me wrong. I will have many drinks in my hand.
Exactly.
I will have alcohol
at the door
in me.
You cannot analyze it in any way like quasi-analyze.
Is there some kind of drinking game that I can play, like anytime like a shark kills somebody?
There is a drinking game.
Dead.
You would die if that.
Well, you take like a sip. You don't drink a drink every time somebody gets eaten.
That's like the drinking game that people have for the Big Lebowski. Anytime anybody says "dude" or you hear the F word, you take a drink.
Yeah,
you don't make it through a half hour of the movie.
Yep,
you drink you have 20 drinks in like 30 minutes.
Sounds good.
It's insane. You're wrecked.
I made a movie list of. Movies that you watch, and if you drink while when they happen, like you'll die. One of them is Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day. Every time that a new day starts, you drink.
There's 5 minutes in the middle of the movie where it's like 20 days in a row.
Exactly. The beginning starts off real slow. You get about 45 minutes in, and then you're chugging because it's over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, check that out.
Scene, I keep watching Korra. It's awesome. This season has been really good. I like it better than season two.
What's the main arc?
So the main arc with Korra is
in this season.
Yeah. Well, the end of season two was she changed the world so that human world and the spirit world are overlapping. Okay. So they exist on the same plane. And when in doing that, there are new airbenders that are starting to be born again. So, like, okay. before this, there was only Aang's line of his family who had the airbender genes, and so there was only, like, 5 airbenders total, and, like, 3 of them are kids.
Mm.
Yeah.
But now, like, there's airbenders in all parts of the world who are gaining powers, and so Korra has been traveling around the world trying to find airbenders and recruit them to come to the Northern Air Temple with her. There's a big bad because there's one guy that was just, he was like a really, like, awesome martial artist who's evil, who is now an airbender. So there's an evil airbender that's smarter and more awesome than Korra at airbending, and he has a band of evil benders with him too. Like one of the people that follows him around, she is one of those people that have the eye on their forehead so that she can make things explode.
Oh,
like that
the bomb guy.
She's like the fire
from season 3.
Guy.
Yeah,
bomb
yeah.
Dude.
Oh my god, what a great character!
He's like that. Seriously. She's like that. So she has that thing.
What was he called? He had a name.
I don't. Yeah, he was like an assassin or something. Yeah.
Well, he had a cool, like, Sokka nickname.
He had
awesome.
A specific name, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sokka gave him a nickname that was hilarious.
But, and there's, like, a really cool, like, earthbender guy who, he's got the ability that he, like, he heats up the ground and makes it, like, lava, so he attacks with lava.
Whoa.
And then there's this cool, like, waterbending chick who's, she's missing her arms. So she uses water as her limbs. So she fights with the water limbs. It's crazy badass. Yeah.
Sounds great.
So these great. Like these
watch started this, watching though. From the beginning here. I think
these,
I mentioned that last week.
These
so, yeah,
four
I'm working
these,
my way through that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah
but these four like bad guys are really fun. It's really cool, and they just cool. are beating the crap out of people because they're like the best benders like ever.
That's great.
So it's real. It's a
cool.
Yeah. It's very cool. It's like this evil avatar crew. You know.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. So I'm liking that.
Sure. No, it sounds great.
Yeah.
How many episodes are left?
Oh, there's only probably 5 left. They're on the 8th episode.
Are they doing like 3 books like the first Avatar series?
I don't think they're gonna stop. I think they announced at Comic-Con that they were gonna go digital, and I think they're just gonna keep because there's no with Avatar.
They haven't said if there's gonna be a 4th season.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I hope there is.
The original Avatar with Aang.
They pulled them.
They had to have an ending. They had to beat the Fire Lord. They had to, you know, wrap it up. There when they planned it up with the original Avatar, it was like, you know, water. Earth, fire, but now it's like this season is called the Change.
So the 3 elements you still needed to learn.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. This one's just called the Change. So I mean, they can keep going with these story, and I hope they do because I love it. Mm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's move on to Red.
Let's.
What have you both been reading?
I'm current on Batman Eternal.
Nice.
I'm not
nice.
Current on Batman Eternal.
Get
been,
current.
Not
in Samurai in 2 weeks.
So not at all know. Current. So, what do you
You're
think of current. Batman Eternal? What do you think of Batman Eternal, Christopher?
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Not a lot, whole lot of consistency. I'm not too happy with the lack of Batman.
in the movie Batman. In the book Batman Eternal. That's funny.
I mean, it's true.
Funny,
it's true, though.
Yeah.
I like all, you know, I like all the different characters. I like the fact that there's multiple storylines that are in play. I thought they wrapped up the whole Civil War thing, you know, the internal sort of gang war thing in Gotham a little too neatly and easily. But you know, I like the characters, I like the world, so okay. We must commit to doing the whole run.
We are.
You know, I'm.
What issue are they through? What issue is coming out this week?
19.
Okay. Okay. And didn't by the next time we do a podcast, they'll be through 20.
At the panel that 20 is really a big episode or
they
issue?
Broke it. They said they were breaking the whole run into kind of three large arcs.
Yeah.
And the first large arc would be done on like early 20s, I think. And then 20s through kind of mid 40s or early 40s would be the second arc, and then the last arc would be like low 40s through 52. The last 10 issues would be like the last main arc.
Yeah.
So they're doing three major arcs in the 52 issue run.
Hmm.
So they're getting close to resolving kind of the first arc.
I'm, you know, it's not terrible, but I have quibbles with lack of Batman.
I have a weekly read, though. I like the weekly in the sense that you always can go to a comic book store and there's always something to read.
I like that.
That's why they've started doing this since the 52 stuff.
I love DC doing their weeklies. I think it's great. So I will get caught up and through the next podcast.
For real comic book readers and lovers, I think the weekly issue is like a big deal. So
I think it is.
The other thing I'm reading, just to focus on comics, is I have Absolute Sandman Volume 1.
Yes.
Ooh.
And
did you ever read that?
Neil Gaiman, right?
Neil Gaiman. I started that again. So
have you read all the Sandman?
No, I have not. So
do I own that? Did I give that to you, Andrew? I think I have all of them.
I have Absolute Sandman Volume 1, and so I'm working on that. I started that over.
One of the best. That is like a must read of graphic novels.
Gaiman is a genius. So yes. I'm going
his
to
creative
read,
mind is unparalleled.
Yes. So I'm reading that. I'm committed to reading that all the way through. So
Yeah, like that, and like Watchmen and V for Vendetta and The Dark Knight Returns are like, those are the best comics you should need to read if you're a comic book reader, like, for sure.
Well, I'm going to do it. So.
Maybe Batman Year One. Batman Year One by Alan Moore. That one's really
good,
too.
Batman Year One is up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of Batman stories, it's, you know, it's top three.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great story. What about you, Andrew? Reading. Read.
I am almost done with Stormfront. I am enjoying the way that novel is resolving. I will continue to read the Dresden Files once I finish Stormfront, so I have maybe 50 pages left on that. I have been trying to read more when I go to the gym, but I just find it difficult to focus on the book when I'm working out, so I thought that I'd have it done by now. But
are you
I'm
on
done,
the elliptical? Are you on the bicycle and
I'm
reading?
On the bike.
Is that what you're doing?
I ride a stationary bike.
You don't run. You don't run on the treadmill.
That's my cardio. Yeah, no, my knee kills.
Yeah, I figured you have like knee trouble.
Yeah, my knee
leftover knee trouble from football.
It hurts. But yeah, no, long story short, I have 50 pages left. I'll finish that. I will continue to read the Dresden Files. Just because it's become kind of the thing I do at lunch, I eat at my desk really quick, and then I leave the office for an hour. I went over to the Barnes & Noble, and I picked up Ready Player One after you mentioned it last
week. Oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Good.
Oh, my God.
I read the first 10 pages where it's the main character, or I believe is the main character, kind of setting up the context for the rest of the story. I basically read the prologue today. You know, when he talks about the contest that's created.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how he kind of
the Gunters.
Involved,
the know, Gunters.
He's the first person to solve the first level of this puzzle.
Yeah.
And then it picks up with the main story arc. And
it's such a geeky adventure story. It's
I
really
love
good.
It. I love like in the first few pages he talks about like the Oingo Boingo song. That like is in the movie that he left, and I immediately like looked it up on my phone and like listened to it, like I just love the little 80s tidbits.
The references he makes with the video that is the key part of the main first pages of the book, where he's describing it, talking about the maker of the video inserts himself into these different scenes from different 80s movies, and I can see all of these 80s movies in my head when the scenes are described.
Okay, so
and how the author footnotes
break down the movies. What are they? Do you know what movies they are?
Well, he references there's two scenes where he's in, there's the funeral scene in Heather's.
Oh, yes, that's the one.
Scene from Heather's where they're dancing in in the gym. There's some dance scene from Heather's where he inserts himself into that.
Yeah,
it's just very, very smart. I mean, because I think a lot of the references right now, I mean, I didn't come of age in the 80s. I'm a 90s kid, but
right.
I watched enough movies and I paid attention to pop culture enough in the 80s that I'm getting all of the references. So it's
well,
it's
you
pretty
were
cool.
You were a youth, you weren't in high school in the 80s.
It is a book written for my generation, no question. Yeah.
Right.
It's so good.
Once I'm done with Stormfront, I will more than likely pick up the next Dresden Files, and I will pick up Ready Player One, and I will read through that. It sounds like a quest book too.
I love that. Right.
Video gamers quest.
Exactly.
So I'm excited, and I don't even play MMOs, so it'll be kind of interesting to get a little bit of a take on that.
Well,
it's
kind of like
in that world,
right? It's kind of like this MMO. It has MMO aspects, but I mean, a lot of
it's
more
like Second Life.
It's like right. It's sort of
more like Second. Okay.
It's more about how the early days of video games have impacted this game, and how the 80s Atari 2600 games influenced him and influenced the game. So,
and the writing of the first 10 pages was very interesting and very compelling, and I liked how he described things and kind of the sense of the wry sense of humor that the voice
it's really funny.
Used.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
So I'm excited to continue with that. So
I'll
probably pick that up very soon.
I continue to read that as well. I am about where you are, I would say, about 10 pages in. Sounds like we're about the same spot. But I love it, man. It's so different from me listening to A Feast for Crows, because I'm still in the middle of that, still about 22 hours into that. Of 30. Yeah. And that is, so this is fun and funny, and that is so dry and interesting that it's my brain is getting pulled around.
It's
with these
two sides of your brain.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Gotcha. So I those are the two things that I'm working on still for Red. Continue to read that. I'll get caught up on Batman Eternal as well, so we can have an in-depth discussion after the 20s. Maybe we'll talk in depth about this.
We should
arc
try to be
start.
Caught up on 20 and then have a detailed discussion.
Detailed discussion
of the first 20.
I like it.
First arc, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm going by Samurai on Wednesday for sure.
Played.
Played.
Let's move on to Played.
I actually have something to contribute this episode.
Oh my gosh. Stunner. Andrew played something?
Right.
Your probationary geek card is still on probation.
I'm sure it is.
what did you play?
It was on secret probation.
Double secret probation.
Revoked.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
Because you had no contribution to Played for 5 weeks straight.
Oh.
Exactly.
So that's unacceptable.
That's not where he shines in his geekness. That's okay.
I'm not a gamer geek.
This is about being an omni-geek, dude.
Omni-geek. Yeah, no, exactly. Thank you for using that term. Excellent.
I put Halo 4 back into my 360, and I looked through the firefights and the Spartan Op episodes that I had played through, and I actually found one that I hadn't beaten yet. So I was late to talk to you guys tonight because I was replaying that, and I'm this close to beating it.
Shit.
Oh my god! And I mean, I am very rusty. I haven't picked up Halo 4 in months since I beat the campaign the second time.
Mm-hmm.
I am very rusty. Just learning, you know, what weapons work best against what enemies, and how to, you know, the best way to kind of play against, you know, the Prometheans versus the elites and all that. You know, oh my god, it's so much fun, and it looks so good, but. Yeah, no, I am. That game, the whole Halo series. That, I mean, if there's any, I'm a Halo gamer. You guys,
yeah.
I mean, I play. I love it. I don't play online just because I don't play it enough to be really good at it. Good enough to play, you know, PvP or whatever. But I just love the whole series. I mean, we've talked about this. We've all geeked out and even read the books that they wrote in connection with the game series.
Those are great books.
It's just the whole concept of that world is so interesting and so rich. And the freaking video, the games are great to varying degrees. I mean, there's some games that are better than others, but I've never played a Halo game that I didn't enjoy on some level.
Well, like, the Halo universe is kind of like this. I equate it to, like, the Star Trek universe, but it goes in, like, a different direction. Like, instead of the Federation and there being, like, peace, they're sort of like, we run into violence and, like, hostility, and we have to, like, fight the Covenant, this huge force that just wants to wipe humanity off the face of the earth, and so it becomes like this militaristic culture, and it's very it's like an interesting, like, I love the backstory and the lore of the Halo universe, so
I picked up that, and I was playing Spartan Ops, and
I mean, the Forerunner stuff is cool, all of that, so I will definitely be getting the Halo
Master Chief collection.
Yes, the Master Chief Collection for the Xbox One. That's without question.
That's going to be 1, 2, 3, and 4 for the Xbox One.
I don't know what is
all. Or is it 1, 2, and 3?
I think it's all 4.
You think it's all 4?
Yeah.
Where he's the main character.
And that's a preempt to Halo 5 coming out.
Yeah, next fall.
And all remastered for HD and Xbox.
Oh my god. Halo 1 HD. That sounds like the greatest time.
That sounds incredible.
I can't wait till that comes out.
Dude, seriously.
I would play the shit out of that.
Seriously. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're update, like, the weapons and stuff, because, like, there was no battle rifle in the first game. I mean,
I don't think they will change any of it, but I think they will remaster it for HD so that there's a hell of a lot more detail.
Well, and the hitbox in Halo 2 was just huge. You could, like, headshot people so easily. It was really easy, and then they fix it with Halo 3 where it's like a tighter circle.
They did all those patches when they made Halo 2 and they released it in the multiplayer, and I mean, you could you know, they introduced the dual wielding.
Oh,
you know,
people would
dual wield needlers.
John Woosta.
It would lay down, you know, 100 needles.
Remember when we played?
We used to say John Woosta.
Days of playing, you know, all of us getting together in a single room, and
we'd have a LAN party.
We did. Oh so fun.
I remember
switcher that we would hook all together.
Yeah, we had to physically bring over our Xboxes to your house and TV.
Bring our rig
and we played against each other.
Before the days of flat panels.
Oh my god. And I remember, didn't, like, Sean come over one time that too?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
god, we used to do that so much. It was so much fun.
So good.
That was so much fun.
I have great memories of that.
Playing Snipers and Blood Gulch.
Snipers and Blood Gulch. And then Beaver Creek.
Matches would last like 40 minutes because we all find the perch and we just kind of wait.
We just wait for somebody to
turn your head into a canoe.
Oh. You
because you didn't have the other guy on your
screen. No, you could not screen cheat.
So
you could not screen cheat.
Point of view.
Oh, it was so good.
You have to wait for somebody to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
so
really
much fun.
That was the only scenario that we could compete with Patrick in.
That's true.
Yeah. I could beat Patrick in the Sniper Blood Gulch.
And I could hang with the two of you.
Yep,
I mean, I didn't win usually.
But Patrick,
but at least it was
a close quarter shit.
I wasn't getting obliterated.
The close quarter shit, Patrick had that fast twitch down to science.
He just lay waste.
Yeah.
Well, I remember one time, like, I challenged you both to you two versus me.
Yeah.
And I kicked your asses. Like, I felt bad that I was.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
It
Yeah,
you got you got the more skill with that.
I
kind
do.
Of,
you just had more time to waste.
That you well, really did. I have I have gamer reflexes, dude. Like I know. But it's like
you don't have to make a pissing contest out of this Halo contest.
Oh, man. You guys are getting crusty right now. Hopefully, it'll fix itself.
I had quarterback reflexes, dude.
Okay, all right. Gamer reflexes, yeah. Though, those are like in your fingers. That's eye hand coordination.
All right.
Christopher, what have you been playing?
I played Mario Kart 8.
Nice.
That game continues to be entertaining.
Excellent.
Have you guys unlocked all of the tracks now? Have you unlocked all the players?
We have defeated, but we do not have 3 stars on every track.
Oh.
On every level. So we continue to work on that. My cohort in terms of working on that is Kristen. She is an excellent driver.
Nice.
And so when we race together, either she wins, and she wins for sure, more than her fair share of races now. But it's either she and we try to – you have to win all 4 races in every class, in every cup, in order to get the 3 stars, right? So if you get second in any race, you're out, you got to start over. So what we try to do is race together, and we still try to beat one another, but we try to do it in such a way that we're trying to work our way through it to get the 3 stars in every cup. So,
gotcha.
It's great fun.
Okay.
That is fun. The limited amount of time I played Mario Kart 8,
it looks awesome. It's awesome in HD. The controls are great. It's really good.
That's play on the pad though, Christopher. Kristen plays on the pad. Do you play with the wheel?
Kristen
or
does both.
Stick?
I play with a wheel all the time.
Yeah.
I play with a wheel. Right. I busted out Forza 5 on the Xbox One. I played that for a while, just because. Maybe Top Gear inspired me. I saw something on Top Gear and cool cars, and so I busted that out. That was
what's your favorite car to drive on Forza?
My favorite favorite car that I own is the LaFerrari, the brand new Ferrari car.
Okay,
that is. It's just a ridiculous vehicle. Ridiculous production vehicle. So
and you start with a tricked out Focus or
Focus and
Volkswagen
some
or something.
Yeah, you start out with those sort of basic cars which you can upgrade, and so I've got a lot of Fords. And those are fun to drive. I got, as part of a car pack, the Ferrari.
That's awesome.
That thing around the Nürburgring is just ridiculously fun.
It always amazes me. I mean, the Nürburgring is an 8-minute lap. 8 minutes, right?
seven to 8 minutes. Yeah.
That's insane.
If you're really doing it well.
I
haven't come close to 8 minutes. I probably do it in... My best time is probably 10 or 11.
7 to 8 minutes is you're in like a Formula One car.
Yeah, you're driving the Porsche Spyder, prototype Spyder set the record, and it's close to 7 minutes.
Jesus. Can you drive in this game? Can you drive like a Bugatti Veyron or like
I have one of those.
Oh, that's sweet.
In the game.
That's awesome.
Is it possible to drive that car or is it just too hard?
No, it's very possible. It's just my second favorite car is probably the Jaguar, the X what's the new
the XJ or the XK?
I don't remember.
Is that what it is?
I don't remember what it's called.
This is on the Xbox One, right? That you're playing.
What?
You're playing this game on the Xbox One.
Yes.
Nice. So it looks amazing.
It looks amazing.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. So I played that. That's great fun. I'll keep going back to that because that's a good time. But I am going to get the Forza Horizon 2.
Nice.
That's okay. That's the open world game. And I figured out my Divinity Original Sin issues.
Nice.
Really?
Hacked my computer.
Okay.
And that solved my problem. It's clearly a memory allocation issue.
Okay.
In the game itself, it's having issues with.
Did you get this solution off of the forums
Forums? Yeah. Yes.
Somebody helped you with it on the forums. I'd love that.
On the forums was the solution, and I worked my way through all these other troubleshooting things until finally it was like, but this hack is you like get into the operating system itself and modify its allocation of memory.
Oh wow.
To the the programs that it's running and the programs that it allocates to Windows. So it's like you're in the meat of the operating system to change how much memory it allocates to the what it's doing.
Yeah.
And if I understand it right, I expanded the number, the memory that is dedicated to other programs, not just the operating system. So normally the operating system splits up your RAM equally. So I have 4 gigs of RAM. And so it was allocating 2 to Windows and 2 to system, right?
All this to play a game.
Yes. So I changed it so it was 3 gigs for the game, essentially.
Right.
I'm running nothing else but the game. 3 gigs for the game and 1 gig for Windows.
Wow, okay.
And it has saved. I have no crashes.
Wow.
No crashes from transitions. No, it has saved perfectly every time with no crashes. So that obviously is the problem with how the game is dealing with memory allocation, and I'm playing the hell out of it. I've played over 10 hours, and I haven't even left the city yet. I take that back. I just left the city. I'm on some quests that are outside the city. I have a full group of 4. Totally harkening back to my Dungeons and Dragons days. It is hard because the crafting is not straightforward. There's no clear sort of guidebook as to what to craft together.
Mm-hmm. Well, this game is made for like, this game is sort of like, we're not going to spell it out. This is challenging.
Yes.
We want it to be challenging. There's no like quest marker.
No, it's great fun. It's great.
Yeah.
The log sort of doesn't point you to where you should go next.
Yeah.
You got stories that people tell you, and that's why I left the city. I was like, okay, well, you know, a couple of people talked to me about these statues out to the northwest along the coast. I'm going to go check those out.
Oh, nice.
So I've headed out of the city, and I'm going out there, and I got ambushed by a couple of undead groups, and I'm in the midst of dealing with those groups now. So it's great.
That's cool.
It's great fun. Yeah,
that's very cool. It's cool that like you're having conversations with characters in the world, and that impacted your actions versus like, hey, you should go check out those statues because blah blah blah. Like, you didn't have a quest to go to that. Like,
I love it.
They
I
just mentioned it.
Like, it. Told right. me a story. You ought to go check this out. So I'm going to do that.
I appreciate that aspect of it from role playing. The role playing I've done too. That sounds appealing.
Really cool.
Anything else you played?
That's it.
All right.
Diablo
3.
I play that all the time. So
I have 3 things that I played that I will speak briefly on for all 3. I rented Wolfenstein for the 360. Finally played that. I was pretty disappointed with it so far. About an hour into it, and I was I don't like how it looks. I mean, it looks okay, but it's just sort of like this fantasy steampunk kind of a World War II thing.
Right, I like that look,
but it just doesn't work. I don't know. I'm not sold on it yet, so I'll keep playing and and give you a full answer. But
how's the game? The gameplay is
sloppy.
Good?
It feels all over the place. The guns that they give you are like I don't feel like they're precise at all, and that bugs the crap out of me. I like single shot. Give me a what's the M1 Grand. That's the gun I want that they don't give you. They give you a Thompson, and then the guns that you pick up off the Germans are like the machine gun version of that the Nazis roll around with. And so I have two machine guns, and all I want is like something to dome shot people with, and I don't.
Yeah.
So I'm frustrated with that. It just feels like all over the place. You hit the trigger, and the kick is just like, I just feel like a ruffian. It's not
ruffian.
Like a sloppy
you wish
shooter.
It was a little more elegant.
Yeah. Just.
Yeah, yeah.
You wish it was a little
That's
more
what elegant. I do. I get the single shotguns. Whenever I'm in Halo, I go for the battle rifle. I go for the sniper rifle. I like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Fighting from a distance and dome shotting people like crazy. That's what I like.
I gotcha.
I played, what else did I play? Diablo 3, getting ready for Reaper of Souls to come out for the 360. One of my friends does not, his old Xbox died, so he lost his game saves. So we're power leveling him to get to 60 for when Reaper of Souls comes out. So we were running Act 4 on normal, the hardest we can make it, over and over and over to get him leveled up, and we played that a little bit last night, which is a lot of fun. And then my buddies and I, we came back to Grand Theft Auto Online, and we finally got to the point where we unlocked this mission that is the best mission in the game. That it's called Rooftop Rumble. And up until that point, money was an issue, and now we just keep doing Rooftop Rumble over and over and over, and we have no money problems anymore.
Okay.
Because you can do, like, somebody figured this out online where you could do this mission in, like, 5 minutes if you have a couple people who know what they're doing. And you get 20 grand out of it every time. And 20 grand in the game is a good amount for a mission, because usually, like, if you do a race or something, you get, like, 5 grand. Or if you do, like, a little mission, it might take a little longer, and you get 10 grand out of it. Like, so we got to this mission, and we've just been playing it like crazy. And now I have, like, we all have supercars. Like, my buddy has the... he has a Bugatti Veyron, which is called an Adder in the game. They can't call him that, but that's what it is.
Yeah, they can't license it.
And I got this car named an Entity, which is basically a Koenigsegg, like one of the Koenigseggs. It's Koenigsegg, sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's a fantastic
dude,
car.
It's so fast. Oh, my God. And I've saved up for an attack chopper, so now I have a chopper, and I can just it's the most expensive thing in the game, so I could just like fly around in this chopper and just bomb on people with like rockets.
This is the
online, so I could be flying around in this thing and just murdering fools.
Murders.
Which is, and the attack chopper is sweet too, because you can like have you and four people in it, three others.
Yeah.
And so, like, Zach
a door gun,
can they shoot?
Zach has a minigun hanging out the side of this attack chopper, and just minigunning, and I'm rocketing. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's amazing.
It's crazy.
It's absurd.
It's a lot of fun.
That is absurd.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm enjoying it.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's what I played. Andrew.
That's nice.
Do you have a trivia question for us?
I sure do have a trivia
question,
boys.
Let's hear it.
And we've kind of talked about this earlier. We alluded to the fact that Marvel has released 10 films under the Marvel imprint.
Okay.
I'm going to challenge the two of you to name all 10 films. And for bonus points...
Is this Marvel Studios or this is like...
I'll make it this caveat. Starting with Iron Man... So I'm giving you one. So you know two already because we talked about Guardians of the Galaxy. We talked about and beginning with Iron Man, ending now with Guardians of the Galaxy. There's been 10 films.
So this doesn't include like order. Fantastic Four or
year,
order of release.
Order of release. If you can do the year, the order of release, and even if you can get the directors. But I'm
Jesus man.
The order of release.
I'm not doing any
do
of that.
Years, you get extra.
I will do an order. Okay.
Joss Whedon directed the Avengers. That's all I know.
Okay, Patrick, you do the order starting with Iron Man.
Okay, so Iron Man. Let me think. What came after that?
Thor.
Was it Thor? Yeah. I'm gonna go with Thor.
You're wrong.
Captain America: First Avenger.
Yeah. Are we missing
is that
something?
Second?
No, you guys are missing two.
Missing two.
Iron Man, and then
was it Iron Man? Then Iron Man 2 before any of that?
There's a film between Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2.
Just wait.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Jesus.
All right. I'm thinking. What is the film?
What other Marvel?
It's not like The Punisher or anything, is it? Like, that wasn't a Marvel one.
No, that's not a Marvel imprint.
Yeah. What was the other one?
When I say it, you're going to be like, aw.
Daredevil doesn't count.
Daredevil doesn't count.
Not part of the Marvel imprint.
Not Fantastic Four, not Spider-Man.
All 10 of these films have followed under the singular universe.
Yeah.
Started with Iron Man 1.
We're missing something. We're missing something big.
Yeah, what am I forgetting?
Hulk. The Incredible Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk.
There it is.
That's correct.
The Edward Norton one.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so it was Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2... And then Thor, and then Captain America.
First Avenger.
So that's five, right? And then Avengers, that's six.
Yes.
And then we went back to, we had Iron Man 3. And then we had Thor, Dark World, and then Captain America 2.
And then nine.
And then Guardians.
Yes.
Boom.
That's correct.
Boom. Well done.
We were stuck on that Incredible Hulk one.
People forget about the Incredible Hulk.
Yes.
Being that is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I think I'm okay with what's his name?
Ruffalo is okay. The reason why that gets overlooked is Ruffalo. If Ruffalo had played Banner in that movie, then it would be easy. But because they switched actors, then it's not easy.
Do you think they'll do a Hulk standalone movie with Mark Ruffalo? No,
I don't know.
I don't think there's enough there.
I agree.
Mm, they could and do
they'll,
something
they'll do
interesting.
A Black Widow before they do.
I like the Edward Norton like Hulk
I actually
movie.
Like the Incredible
I think that's
Hulk.
Good.
Yeah, it was
it
good.
Has good Hulk it was good. Action.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun.
And he's
a standout in Avengers, so
people
loved him ragdolling Loki. So
exactly.
All right.
The Incredible Hulk. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and they have domestic grosses. Iron Man, the first Iron Man, $585 million. The Incredible Hulk made $263 million, which doesn't sound like a lot, but I mean, still, it's a good amount of money.
That's $263 million
domestic.
Domestic.
Yeah.
That's
well, I think it might be total. That actually might be total.
Oh, really?
Iron Man 2 did 623.
Box Office Mojo will have it in detail.
Thor did 450 essentially.
Damn.
Captain America First Adventure did 370. Avengers did $1.5 billion.
I think that's global.
This is all global.
I think Captain
so
America
Iron Man 3
is
did 1.2 billion.
I was really disappointed with Captain America 1.
I hated that movie.
The first one?
I disliked it very much.
Iron Man 3, I hated
it. Iron Man 3 was awful. And
I'm not a big fan of
border,
Iron Man 3.
Borderland unwatchable.
Tragedy of the Mandarin. I can't get over the tragedy of the Mandarin.
Yeah, I agree. They're saying they might go back to that and do an actual...
I read that. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Like an actual Mandarin story.
Badass Mandarin.
Thor the Dark World. So Iron Man 3, 1.2 billion. Thor the Dark World, 644 million. Captain America The Winter Soldier, $710 million.
So good.
So good.
Fucking so good.
And I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians will get to 500, I think.
They'll get to 500.
Worldwide.
Dude, Chris Pratt is a movie star.
Yeah, he is.
He's
our generation's Han Solo. I'm saying it right now. Like, really? That right there. Like, right. he's the lovable down. Cowboy, like, handsome. The rogue. Ladies love him. The dudes want to be him. Totally works.
He's like a rogue. And yeah. Can we, let's just, I love the ship, the Milano.
Oh, yeah, that was it's cool.
It is a cool looking ship. That's true.
Cool looking ship.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dude, the scene in the beginning when he's, like, hopping into his ship and he's, like, flying on that planet with all the water. God, that was cool looking.
That was very cool.
Just so much fun. I want to rewatch it now. God.
I saw it twice.
I've seen it twice.
Oh, my God. You guys have already seen it twice?
Yep.
Thursday and Friday.
You guys are nuts. Okay.
I took the girls on Saturday.
If you would like to help Andrew with his trivia questions, you can email him at kinginthenorth52@gmail.com. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you should do that at brothers_geek at twitter.com. You should visit us at the brothersgeek.com. I keep saying the Brothers Geek. Brothersgeek.com. And
download us on iTunes.
And download us your comments and
give us some stars on iTunes.
Five on iTunes.
All of that.
We're at 10 episodes. We hope you've enjoyed
it. This is number 10.
10 episodes, ladies and gentlemen. All for you.
All,
honestly.
All awesome because I'm involved.
Because Christopher's involved.
I've had a lot of fun doing these, so I hope we do them forever.
I hope to do lots and lots more.
500 more.
I hope.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 500 more. Sounds good.
Easily.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Good night, boys.
Have a pleasant evening.
Good night.